Really, I was wondering too, when was the last time I've done like a night of the majority of calls being open lines? Couldn't tell you. But it'll be fun tonight. We've got some guests to get to. In the meantime, comforting the afflicted, afflicting the comfortable, bringing faith to the doubtful, doubt to the faithful, friend to the friendless, odor to the odorless, calling lame radio to rise and talk. My name is Ian Punnett, in for George tonight as he's burning up his vacation days. And I, for one, am happy to jump back at the con again for another night before tomorrow night's show on Coast to Coast Live. Coast to Coast Live coming up tomorrow night, heard on many but not all of the stations that carry Coast to Coast AM. Call your local cable operator. No, call your local affiliate and ask them if they're not carrying it, because it's going to be a very cool show. In fact, we'll give you a taste of it coming up later on this hour. We were able to put together some of it this hour. Gary Patterson's going to come back, the coolest teacher in America, the coolest English teacher in America, and he's got a new story, a new rock and roll revelation. And you know Gary, if it's out there to be found, he will. We'll tell you more about that coming up in crypto news and email on the way too. And I have never of the, you know, I was trying to think anyway. I can't remember. In the 8 or so years that I have been appearing on Coast to Coast, whether I have ever done a specially dedicated line to somebody or something. And I believe that tonight will be the first time ever, but it's for a very good and interesting reason. When we get to open lines coming up, we may in fact have some impromptu guests on a subject which was raised by the film The Transfiguration of Harold Maines. And we'll tell you more about that later on this first hour as well. Saying hi to all the people at the Fantastic Forum and all of the Art Bell and George Norrie chat sites all across the country have been kind enough to write. In fact, Al said, Ian, it has been a while. I'm really looking forward to your hosting tonight. I see where you'll be doing open lines, but please make sure to give us some good crypto news. That is the highlight of your shows. Great to have you back, Al, thank you. I'd like, you know, not to think that the shows all go downhill after the first 15 minutes. I prefer not to think that that's the highlight of the show, but it's a good way to get it started, and we'll do the big stories this morning. Obviously, changes in the weather and all that that means. Scientists have discovered a new species of bat, and the new accusations about the tobacco in the oil industry coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Gary Patterson coming up then a little bit later on this first hour on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll tell you more about the Transfiguration of Harold Maines and the first time I've ever done a special topic line, what number and why you're calling, coming up later on Coast to Coast AM. What a terrific day it was weather-wise. It's warm here in the upper Midwest. Nothing like, of course, what it was on the East Coast. 70 degrees up and down the Eastern Seaboard, including 70 degrees in Washington. The cherry blossoms were fooled into popping out early. Hope that doesn't screw them up for spring. Can they reload those? Do you have a, can you, once they pop the blossoms, is that it for the year? Or do they fall off and then come back again one more time? I hope so. Record warmth for New York City today. Chicago was doing well. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to Elizabeth. Warmest year on record so far. Meanwhile, the third snowstorm in as many weeks barreled into Colorado on Friday. Associated Press reports blanketing the Denver area with up to 8 inches of new snow and further hampering efforts to rescue thousands of cattle stranded by last week's blizzard. Crews worked around the clock to clear roads so residents could get to stores for food and for medicine. Several school districts, of course, canceled classes. Wind gusts were up to 30 miles an hour and reduced visibility greatly. In Kansas, they still say 60,000 people are without power after more than a week, and a new storm was headed their way after dumping nearly a foot of snow in the foothills west of Denver. And agricultural officials are still trying to determine how to deal with the carcasses of thousands of livestock that were killed in the blizzard or starved afterward. An estimated 3,500 cattle are believed to have died on rangeland in just six southeastern Colorado counties alone. There's another interesting story about global warming. I'll get back to that coming up in just a minute. But all that means oil prices slipped Friday, extending a sharp decline in the new year as unseasonably warm weather hit all over the United States, with exceptions, obviously. Light sweet crude for February delivery on the New York Mercantile Exchange dropped 14 cents, $55.45 a barrel, lowest price since June 15, 2005. Ministers of OPEC are waiting to see whether the lower price trend continues before taking any further action. We are concerned, of course, said Shakri Ghanem to the Dow Jones Newswires. They are concerned that their prices are going too low. If you ask me, a decent person would be concerned that the price of oil was going to be too high for people to afford. These guys are concerned that oil will be too low and they won't make as much money. Experts say, should the $55 per barrel support level be broken, oil may well trade well down nearly to $50 a barrel. And that would mean gas at the pumps for well under $2. Who saw that coming? Not me. And that would, of course, should mean that some catastrophe is long overdue at an American oil refinery. Do I sound cynical? I don't want to, but we've seen how this happens in the past. You know, the flimsy excuses for jacking up the oil prices all have to do with production at oil refineries. Obviously, after a year of record profits, the gas companies in this country are concerned, too. More on that coming up tomorrow night. An accusation I'll get into that the oil companies are creating a disinformation campaign, much like Big Tobacco did. It's just an accusation at this point, but we'll explore it in that first hour tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live. But back to that thought, if we follow the pattern that has happened time and time again, then I would say we are long overdue for some sort of oil refinery or explosion right about now. Hasn't exploded yet? Okay. Well, something will happen soon. That's my prediction for 2007. I claim no supernatural powers in doing it. Freehold Township, New Jersey, Associated Press. Authorities were trying to identify a mysterious metallic object that crashed through the roof of a house in eastern New Jersey. Nobody was injured when the golf ball-sized object, weighing nearly as much as a can of soup, struck the home and embedded itself in a wall Tuesday night. Federal officials sent to the scene said it was not from an aircraft. A rough surfaced object with a metallic glint displayed Wednesday by police. Approximately 20 to 50 rock-like objects fall every day over the entire planet. According to Carlton Pryor, a professor at Rutgers, it's not all that uncommon to have rocks rain down from heaven, he said. It's not? I guess. Well, aren't those meteorites? No. Tests will be conducted to determine if the object was a meteorite. I'm confused. If a falling rock from space isn't a meteorite, what else is it? Just a falling rock from space? Is there some gravel layer surrounding the planet? And occasionally God's driveway kicks up a rock and comes crashing down on the rest of us? I want to know. Maybe you can answer that coming up when we get to open lines. Scientists have discovered a new species of bat. It has a large, flat, adhesive organs on its feet, like suckers, attached to its hands and its hind feet. The new species of bat that can suck onto surfaces appears only in the dry western forests of Madagascar, where its previously known cousin occurs only in the humid eastern forests of Madagascar. But they still think it's remarkable. It's a remarkable find, the scientists say, because the new bat belongs to a family of bats. A family of bats that have the suction on their hands and feet, referred to the scientists as the stately Wayne family of bats. Finally, back to the subject of global warming and whether or not it's a natural cycle or whether this is man-made or both, the implications of this story run much deeper, I think, than most. You could talk about global warming right now in the upper Midwest, and you'd find a lot of people who are pretty down with it. 70 degrees in New York, who's going to argue with that for January, right? People in Colorado might have a different feel to it, but they're used to heavy snows out there. The skiing industry is built around it. It's fabulous for tourism. And the skiing isn't doing squat up here, probably all over the country, where it's not even cold enough to manufacture snow. So maybe some people won't really get down with concerns about global warming until they hear this. We could be running out of maple syrup. That's right. According to a column I was reading today, maple syrup requires a series of freezes and thaws in order to be produced by the trees. The entire industry is dependent on temperatures oscillating between a narrow range just below and just above freezing. According to this column I read, a growing fear in the northeastern U.S. is that sustained warming will push both that temperature range and the sugar maple range north of the freezing point and north of the border, respectively, which would mean the sugaring season is getting shorter in Vermont already. It could become non-existent. No Vermont-made maple syrup. Now, this could be the tipping point story, you know, that could bring Republicans and Democrats back together on this subject. I mean, people like former Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert may not care a lot about the thawing tundra or the shrinking polar bear habitat, but take away their pancakes, tell a man that there will be no more maple syrup. We'll find out just how motivated they can be. What do they call those? Log cabin Republicans? I don't know. Some Ian mail. Dear Mr. Punnett, what is the biggest oxymoron you can think of? Gravity, writes Joe. The biggest oxymoron is gravity. If for every action there is an equal opposite reaction, then gravity cannot pull at every inch of our planet. We would be the biggest bomb constantly pulling energy to our core. Because our planet spins, then we should be cylindrical. Gravity would pull around it. Now there is an outside force that is holding us at the top and the bottom of our planet, keeping us around and pushing its own field to keep our gravity constant, and that is the sun. Look at the rings of Saturn, and that tells you that the forces given from the planet hold the rings in place from the top and the bottom of the planet. So far as I know, I'm the only person to figure this out, signed Joe. You know, Joe, I guess you're right. I guess I'd never thought about that. Maybe we don't actually have gravity. Wouldn't that be weird if Joe were right? Gravity doesn't actually exist on Earth? My only hope that he's wrong comes from his first question. What is the biggest oxymoron you can think of? And his answer, gravity. I mean, doesn't oxymoron have to have two words? I think I get what he's going for there, and I don't know what's holding us onto the planet. If it's not for gravity, if it's maple syrup, then we know we're really screwed. Concerning the upcoming debate with Michael Shermer, can't you miss a little coast to coast, and you miss a lot. I didn't even hear about this. Somebody's debating Michael Shermer, world's biggest skeptic. Eric writes to say, for UFOs, I'd recommend Royce Myers of the UFO Watchdog and Richard Haynes of NARCAP to debate Michael Shermer. Happy hunting. Eric, didn't know about that. Sounds interesting. Somebody anonymous just emailed in to say, come on, Ian, let's fight. We'll fight with swords on the top of your radio station. I only duel with COD. That's my weapon of choice. You meet me up there with some COD and you're on. Hey, Ian, have you seen this? Rational arrogance is one thing, but these guys make the request in a way that I find very creepy. I hope that one day each of the responders encounters the universal loving consciousness that their hurting ego currently blinds them from. Signed, Heather in Santa Cruz. What she's referring to is the website blasphemychallenge.com. Blasphemychallenge.com. Ivan in Billings, Montana says, how about a partial show on the headless Thompson Gunner? Is that a partial show just because he's headless? I don't know. I only know bits of the story, but legend has it that a CIA agent in Cambodia in the 60s named Roland was assassinated by his fellow agents. Since then, the headless machine gunner has been reported in conflicts in Africa and the Middle East. No word on if he has any embedded pencil lead or not. Well, thank you, Ivan. I look forward to finding out more about that and see if we can get to that, maybe even tonight for open lines. Hey, Ian, like to think that you are the coast-to-coast utility player. You can play all the positions and can be counted on. Thank you. Does that make me like the Bucky Dent of coast-to-coast AM? My question is, this weekend show, is that a new one? I really enjoy your show, and Gary Patterson is one of my favorites. If you want to and can think of it, ask him if he has a band of his own, or just does he play, you know, for himself? I'll ask him about that. Thanks for the excellent work, Enigma from the Nighthawk Zone, another fine website chat room. You know, Enigma, actually, I heard from Gary this week. It is a new show tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live with Gary Patterson. And he wrote me to say, I've confirmed Alan Graham, Jim Morrison's former brother-in-law, to speak with us during the second hour. That's tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live. The family does not do interviews, but Alan has agreed to share some new evidence regarding Jim Morrison's death in Paris and talk about the possibility of Jim Morrison faking his death. This is a huge event. In fact, we'll ask Gary Patterson a little bit more about what we're talking about tomorrow night about Elvis Presley and the possibility that he did, in fact, fake his own death coming up later on this hour. Finally, Richard in Sioux City, Iowa writes, I have yet to hear if there will be a show on other kin. That is to say, those people who believe that while in a human body, they are something other than human, that they have the soul of something else, as I've heard other people describe it, like dragons or elves. Somebody believes that while they're in the human body, they actually are a shadow, a god, a goddess, any other imaginable thing. I myself, writes Richard, am 3/4 elf and 1/4 human. Don't ask me what I remember, as my memories are few right now, but I'll talk about that a little bit later on with the producer of the movie, The Transfiguration of Harold Maines. The Transfiguration of Harold Maines, the story of a guy who believed in that his soul was the soul of a horse. And there are a lot of people who believe that they are other kin. So that's what we're going to dedicate a phone line to tonight for open lines. If you believe that you have a non-human soul, 1-818-817-0021 is the special topic line. Next hour, when we get to open lines, 818-817-0021, if you believe you have something other than a human soul. I have, in fact, heard from other kins before, a guy who believed that he was a horse and was having really quite an emotional struggle adjusting to life, knowing that he was going to have to spend his entire time on the planet as a human being, but that he had been a horse and would be a horse again was giving him hope of continuing on. We'll see what else is out there coming up on Coast to Coast AM. Finally, Jorge from South Florida. And by the way, thank you, South Florida, WFLA or WFAA. I can't remember. Some of the stations have added extra hours on Coast to Coast Live on Saturday nights, and I'm grateful for that. Jorge writes, he said, I'll be staying in tonight listening to Coast. At least I'm not going outside, and I don't know when I'm going to go out again. Have you heard about the Pants Bandit of Southern Florida? And he included a link to a story about a guy who has been robbing people of their pants at gunpoint. And Jorge goes on to say, they called the guy the Pants Bandit, but somehow it just doesn't seem like a fitting title. What would you call the guy? Well, thank you, Jorge. I love a setup like that. In fact, I've been thinking about it a little bit since you wrote, and I don't know. If I were a press guy in South Florida, if I were doing the news in South Florida, if I were looking for a name for the guy who is robbing people of their pants at gunpoint on a serial basis. I think Jack the Zipper, I think, would be more appropriate, don't you? Anyway, it goes to show what your mom said was right. Never go out without clean underwear. And I'm sure the police are anxious to cuff this guy. So I would make more jokes, but they'd be a waste of your time. I called police for a reaction, but they were out of pocket. They said this guy was a slacker, though. Open lines next hour. Gary Patterson next, Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Just for tonight, and then I believe George starts with the full weeks again next week. Or am I wrong? Does he still have more vacation time to burn off? Don't want to waste those days. Coming up later on then tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live, though, we'll get back to that song there, Break On Through to the Other Side, Jim Morrison and the Doors. We were just playing that as a bumper. Is it possible that Jim Morrison didn't break on through to the other side? It just seems so unlikely. How about the Elvis is Alive controversy? Wasn't that long ago settled? Could those both still be stories in play? We'll talk with rock and roll expert Gary Patterson tomorrow night at length. We'll give you just a little glimpse of what that's all about next on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. It's always a pleasure to talk with Gary Patterson. I referred to you as the coolest English teacher in America earlier, Gary, but then I suddenly couldn't remember. Do you teach English or do you teach history?
Actually, Ian, I teach them both.
Oh, do you really? Okay. So I would have been right either way.
Yeah, right either way, my friend. Right.
All right. So, you know, in fact, the last rock and roll show we did, we replayed at one point, and I continue to get, you know, so much positive feedback every time you're on the air. And it's always neat to talk to you because you have, like, you've dug up, like, new cool stories or helped people to figure out some interesting rock and roll myths or legends, and to try to determine the level of truth that might be in any of these experiences that folks had. Tomorrow night's going to be a little different. I've never been involved in breaking news, so to speak, and in a way, I think that's kind of what we're doing. Tell us about this Elvis story first.
Well, I'm really excited about the show tomorrow night because it's going to be a first. I know the listeners are going to love it. The first segment we're going to do, we're bringing on Dan Bliss, he's got a movie that will be released in August of 2007. And it's about Elvis and the myths and the legends. And a film crew has gone out. They've interviewed literally hundreds of Elvis Presley insiders and celebrities. And you're going to be surprised at how many people believe. I mean, these are people in major celebrities who believe Elvis is still with us. And, I mean, he even went to Kalamazoo, Michigan, where Elvis bought his famous hamburger, where people cited him.
Right.
So tomorrow we'll find out which food chain Elvis prefers. But
was it a Wendy's? Wasn't it a Wendy's? Or was
no,
it a...
it's not a Wendy's.
It wasn't a Wendy's? Okay.
It was Burger King. So the Whopper, home of the Whopper.
It would be the King. It'd be the Burger King of rock and roll.
The Burger King and
of
the
course,
King. Where else? It's right.
The King would go to. So so that's interesting. But this surprises me because I've known a few people. I lived in Nashville for a long time, mm-hmm. and I got to know a few people that were kind of Elvis insiders. I got to know Billy Stanley a little bit, Elvis's former stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, there were lots of cool things about Elvis and stuff, but all those people I spoke to believe that he was gone. So I'm very curious about who's going to go on the record and say, yep, I think he's still here.
Well, you'll find out tomorrow night. And the other right. thing, I mean, there's so much with this. I mean, Dan actually interviewed the grave robbers who tried to take Elvis's body from the public cemetery. You're going to hear something new about that tomorrow night. So,
okay, the would-be grave robbers. Because if there's no grave to rob.
Caught in the act. But you're going to be shocked to find out.
If there's no body in there, then they can't be accused of grave robbing, can they?
Well, that's true. But they're going to tell you the story tomorrow night. So, I mean, this is going to be fascinating stuff. We're going to have a blast.
I'm looking forward to this. This is tomorrow night. Now, not every station gets Coast to Coast Live, but you can certainly listen to the show on Streamlink and or on the web in some places. And I hope that if you call your local affiliate, they'll start adding the show so you'll be able to hear it, too. All right, so this Jim Morrison piece, though, that's kind of like a twofer on the Are They Dead story line, because Jim Morrison, I thought that was You know, I mean, it was an intriguing idea that he might have, what did they say? He left and went to move to North Africa or something like that.
Yeah, remember when we were in Africa? Exactly, yeah.
Right. So what's the status in that? You've got his former brother-in-law?
Yes, listen, we're going to have a member of Jim Morrison's family on the air tomorrow night talking about the legends. They do not do public appearances on radio. So tomorrow night, Alan Graham, Jim Morrison's former brother-in-law, who was with the family when Jim died, he's going to give us the complete details of the night, July 3rd, 1971, when Jim supposedly died. And I'm going to tell you, he's got some information that's mind-blowing about if there was a conspiracy. He told me that Jim Morrison, with an IQ of close to 160, he could have done it. So tomorrow night, just be ready, because
Okay.
we're going to hear it from the Morrison family themselves, who've not told their story, and it's all going to be on Coast to Coast tomorrow night with you and me, Ian.
Thank you, Gary. I'm looking forward to this. This is very exciting. And when's that new book coming out?
Oh my goodness, right now I'm doing some film and television, so I've got to finish the book and get it ready. My publisher's
Okay.
ready too, so it's in
Okay.
process. It's in
All right.
process.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Gary Patterson. We'll talk to you tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live. It's the early show on Saturdays, and it comes on before Art's show, the late show, the traditional Coast to Coast AM time. Coast to Coast Live starts 4 hours earlier, and I hope you can catch it because it'll be a real good one. But we'll get back to this show for tonight in the meantime, and that brings us to the Transfiguration of Harold Maines. Jared Johnson is with us. Do I put you down as producer and director, Jared?
Producer, director, writer, editor, yeah, all that.
Star?
No, I avoided being on camera.
Okay. Now I got this film about a year ago.
Okay.
Somebody sent me a DVD of this about a year ago.
I think I remember
And
that getting ordered.
yeah, and I watched it, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. Don't know anybody who falls in that category, so I kind of kept it around, and I kept bringing it up every so once in a while. I would mention it to the producers when we'd be planning a show or something. I would say, "Hey, remember that Transfiguration of Harold Maines guy? Remember
Well,
this story about a guy who has the soul of a horse?" And then something else would come along, and we wouldn't get back to it. So I'm so glad we could finally do it. If nothing else, I can check it off my to-do list.
right.
When did the movie come out, The Transfiguration of Harold Maines?
I think it was officially released on DVD at the beginning of this year, actually.
Okay, so it's a film that was a small film. Did you enter it in like Sundance, or did you take it around to do the film festival route, or has it played in major theaters yet?
No, not in major theaters yet. We did have one film festival appearance in Modesto, California, at the Shocker Fest.
Oh,
And
the coveted Modesto Film
oh
Festival.
yes, everybody tries to get in there. Only few
Exactly.
can.
And so what happened? Did you win?
No, I
No.
no,
You don't have
but
a
we did have a lot of positive comments, and
good.
we are actually it's a horror film festival, but they had divided up into three subcategories, and they put us in fantasy, I think mostly because they didn't know where to put us.
Yeah, that is a good question too, because whereas it is a fantasy, I guess, there's a lot of people, and I read an email from somebody earlier this hour, Richard in Sioux City, Iowa, who believes he's three quarters elf and one quarter human,
Right.
and he made a reference to a website where people go on all the time, and they talk about being what they call other kins, and that they have this sort of kindred soul that exists within them, and they can kind of tap into it, or in some cases it overwhelms them, and they have a hard time tapping into the human side of the soul. Tell us a little bit about the plot of The Transfiguration of Harold Maines.
Well, basically the plot of The Transfiguration of Harold Maines is it's a mockumentary. It's set after the disappearance of Harold Maines, and there's basically a whole group of people that think he became a horse, and this is because his entire life he felt that he was a horse and wanted to be a horse, and then this horse suddenly appears shortly after he disappears. There's obviously another group of people who you might call the realists that think he staged the whole thing. He's just trying to get away from paying alimony to his wife and that type of thing. So the whole thing is set up as a debate between these two groups.
And so who did you research this with, or who did, maybe better phrased, who did you on whom did you do your research for this? Do you know people who are other kins, people who believe they have some other entity's soul within their human body?
You know, I mean, as far as research before the film, I would say, you know, in a sense, I was mostly a study, not because I wanted to be a horse or I thought I was one. But, you know, I approached it more from a metaphorical standpoint where, you know, this is something that, you know, if you wanted to be something you're not, you know, you just chase your dream type of thing. Now, what happened was once the movie's out there, I actually got a chance to meet through the internet and other things some of these other kin that, as you're describing them. And it's really a wide range. There's people that think in previous lives they were horses. There's people that think they, you know, they've come into this life and they actually are a horse somehow and they have a message to give to humankind. There's quite a wide variety of, you know, scenarios that they have.
You know, you hear, and this is how I interpret this, and I'm not a psychologist, but because you make that point, you heard from a lot of people who thought they were horses. Now, no doubt some of those people contacted you because of the subject of your film, but also it seems to me that the number of people I have heard from, the soul that they share is of a more powerful beast or entity than they feel that they are as a human. And I'm not, you know, Carl Jung, and I'm not going to figure this out. But it speaks to what you're talking about, this controversy about, you know, whether or not this is something which somebody is doing because they're so deeply unhappy and they're trying to make their life over, or whether this is a real phenomenon that's actually happened to them. But you don't hear people saying, I share my body with the soul of a gecko lizard.
Right.
Right. You don't hear people saying, no, I share my, I'm part cockroach. It's always something bigger than they are, like a horse. And what is it about a horse that you think is so attractive to people that want to be one or feel that they are one?
Boy, you know, I don't know. But I remember, like, even when I was growing up, and I guess, I mean, I didn't fall into this category completely. I remember watching, like, The Black Stallion as a kid, and, like, I think I went on to read every book Walter Farley wrote. But that's about as far as my fascination went. But I remember people, you know, that they drew horses, they wore horse shirts, they, you know, their dream was to grow up and work with horses. I don't know the answer to that, what is so fascinating about a horse, but it's
your metaphor, it's in your movie, that's why I was asking. I thought maybe you chose horse as opposed to sharing the soul of a mouse, because there's for a purpose. And I don't, you're right, I mean, a lot of people just kind of love horses, but I think there's something about the freedom of that a wild horse represents, or the kind of you know, even being a stud horse would represent, sure, to some guys, or the being a wild and free, you know, mare for some other, for women, as they look at that. Did anybody contact you who was male and said that they had the soul of a female animal inside of them, or was everybody gender relative?
You know, everybody's that I've talked to directly has been gender relative. I think there have been some people that I've run into some places where people wanted to be the other gender, but never the other gender of another species.
Okay, right.
That I hadn't run into. Okay. And, you know, what you're getting at with the horse there, actually, we do deal with that quite a bit in the film. I mean, I think the drive for Harold and the way that I approached it was mostly that it was just that he felt oppressed for whatever reason, and that he was trying to get to some sense of freedom. And for him, the horse represented that.
Right. That's why, and I saw the movie, so I thought,
right,
that's what,
so I thought that was, like, was a,
I thought that was like a 2-foot putt for you. I was setting you up, just gonna knock that one in.
Right. Yeah. Right, so, it took me a little while.
That's okay. So the idea here is, let's put the metaphor aside for the moment. As you said, you've been in, you know, can you get relegated to fantasy? Do you think that it's true when you talk to these people, and they tell you, yes, I believe I have the soul of a, you know, fill in the blank. Do you believe it?
Boy, that's a tough question. You know, I'd have to say, well, I know that they believe it. I really do. I mean, they're very convincing, and I don't feel like I'm in a place to say that they're wrong. So I don't feel like I'm in a place to say that I don't believe it. But, you know, I mean, it's not something that I've experienced at all. So, I mean, the point of the movie was more to deal with, you know, the ramifications on the relationship of, you know, someone that's dealing with being something that they're not, you know, in a state that they're not currently in.
Right.
And what those changes do to a family and to friendships and that type of thing.
I think the person that that sent it to me actually was somebody who was a fan of the film and had written to me extensively saying that they believed that they were a horse. And at first, honestly, I thought that they were pulling my leg. The way they wrote it, you know, I thought, you're just, this is like a clever PR guy who is trying to break through the clutter of the deluge of email with something nicely worded in the subject box.
I've met him too.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, actually over time, I would say this guy fairly convinced me. Now, I don't have the ability to look within the soul of another person, and I'm not omniscient, and I'm not entirely sure how the universe works. I mean, I'd like to think I do, but so I have to say, after exchanging a couple emails with this guy, I sort of got more than just the feeling that he believed it, but that it became to a level believable, partly because of the way in which he experienced it. He wasn't just imagining what a horse would be like. It didn't seem. He was speaking first person from a horse's perspective.
Right, very convincingly.
Very convincingly. And that, I mean, I don't know what a horse thinks, so in a way, maybe I'm kidding myself. But I mean, that's where it seemed like it crossed the line from a good Jerry Springer story or something into something that really made me think, all right, maybe there's something to this.
Right,
or not.
Yeah.
But, all right, so you've been getting a reaction like that, and you've had a chance to reconsider it now that you've produced it, now that you've gone back over and you've looked at it, having spoken with people who believe they are other kins. As you look at the character you created in the movie The Transfiguration of Harold Maines, do you end up believing that he is, in fact, a horse?
Harold?
Harold.
You know, I'd have to say the film certainly leans that way. I think I like to believe that he could pull it off. You know, I mean, seeing as where I was coming from, I do think I was pushing for the idea that maybe you can become something more than what you are, or different than what you are.
Different than what you are. All right. Well, we'll leave it there for now. What's your next project? What else are you working on? What's the next big film project for Jared Johnson?
Well, the next big film project, I think I'm working on a story of, it's basically just kind of a haunted house thriller type of story.
So. Oh, good. Okay. Well, that sounds good too. Keep us in mind for that. And and probably recovering from the financial investment of having made this movie entirely
your
own. And so if they want to order, if people want to get The Transfiguration of Harold Maines, they can link up to your website through coasttocoastam.com. But where else can they find it?
It's up for sale at midsummermovies.com.
Okay.
And it's also on Amazon.com. So either place.
And still playing in Modesto?
You know, I think they really liked it. I hope so.
Okay. Get it back there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Ian.
Appreciate it. The Transfiguration of Harold Maines is the name of that movie. But as much as the topic may seem bizarre, I have heard from enough other kin over the years that I want to tell you again the phone number for what we're going to use for open lines in just a few minutes. And that is 818-817-0021. This is a special topic line for people who believe that their body is inhabited by a non-human soul. And to read that part from Richard again in his email, he speaks with other kins who believe they are humans with the souls of dragons, elves, shadows, gods and goddesses, and any other imaginable thing. After talking about himself as three quarters elf and one quarter human, he goes on to talk about his proof of that. He dreams on another astral plane that his mother is a Greek goddess, the goddess of compassion, and that he has unique insights into the lives of the gods, which he otherwise wouldn't have known if he hadn't, in a past life, been involved with them. Now, regardless of whether that replicates your situation or not, we'd love to hear from you. Plus, and the other stories we mentioned on the earlier part on crypto news, got a couple of emails about this story about the headless Thompson gunner. Anybody know anything more about the CIA agent in Cambodia in the 60s named Roland, who was assassinated by his fellow agents? Since then, the headless machine gunner has been reported in conflicts in Africa and the Middle East. We would love to hear from you if you know anything about that, too. Otherwise, open lines will work as you will do them. And it's been a while since I've had a chance to do them for a couple hours at a time. So on the way on Coast to Coast AM, you will take us where you want to go. Now, let me just give this one caveat that I hope will take care of us for the rest of the night. I am fine. I am so fine. Very likely I will remain fine from the first hour of open lines to the last hour. I appreciate your inquiry as to how I am. But let's just establish on front, I'm good. And assuming you're good, we don't have to go through the traditional pleasantry of how are you. As much as I appreciate the politeness of it, let's just skip to where you're going to take us coming up on Open Lines next. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM.